This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
4 o'clock hour here, Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. We'll talk to Jesse Newell at 4:40. Now, Gale Sayers, I feel like, is one of the few guys who could transcend eras to the point of, if you take Gale Sayers from late 60s, early 70s, you put him in today's football, I still think he would be a successful player. Now, would he be one of the best around? I don't know. But Gale Sayers was Reggie Bush before there was a Reggie Bush.
But in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly, at a higher level. Like, Reggie Bush didn't necessarily translate. Gale Sayers did. But I feel like those sorts of guys are pretty few and far between. Like, you take those Lombardi Packers and you put them up against the Cleveland Browns, they're getting waxed because they got offensive linemen that are at like 220, 200 pounds. Like, it's just a size thing for a lot of them. And I think that the human body has continued to evolve. They didn't make a ton of guys like Adrian Peterson back then. But like Gale Sayers, Barry Sanders, those types of guys, Jim Brown, those are the types of guys that I think could translate to today's football. I think in basketball, you find maybe a few more of them. I think if you look at Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Easy with big men.
Right. With guards, not so much. Like the conversation that kind of got brought up a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago with Russell Westbrook chasing the record of averaging a triple-double all season was, you know, comparing him to Oscar Robertson. I'll tell you what, man. I've watched highlight videos of Oscar Robertson, and maybe people have watched more than me could contest to this, but they are not that flattering. Oscar Robertson's highlight tapes are not jumping off the screen like, wow, he would fit in very well in the modern
right.
NBA.
You look at like Jerry West and stuff, and they're just using their right hand, like with their back bent over, dribbling the basketball.
Staring at the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of wonder, like, how is that going to translate? I think Pete Maravich, he would have translated because he could shoot from 40 feet. So it doesn't really matter how fast you are, how good your dribbles are. If you've got unlimited range, then you're probably going to be just fine. But those guys are fewer and far between. In baseball, I think you could do it across the board because the game doesn't really depend on your physicality.
Maybe with the exception of pitchers, because back in the day, pitchers were probably throwing 85, 90.
Well, and you'd look at guys, we do this like once a year. Once a year on this show, we go back and we look at the stats of old Ross Radburn, or old Hoss Radburn. I think I'm saying that right. Are you familiar with this guy?
No.
So he pitched in the late 1800s. I don't even think he pitched into the 1900s. But his stats as a pitcher were just absolutely outrageous. He had 1 year where he pitched 678 innings.
Oh my goodness.
He made 73 starts. So, and I don't even know how many games a season they were playing in the 1880s. But I'd imagine he's starting, like, once every other game. I don't know. Has it always been 162? Did they bump that up?
I would imagine in the 1800s it was a lot shorter than that.
Well, they didn't have enough teams.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would make sense. But he finished his career 309 wins, 194 losses, and an ERA of 2.68. That year, 678 innings, 73 starts. The dude went 59-12, and he gave up, 104 earned runs. So one run every
win season was bad back in the day.
If you won 20 wins, you were a bum. Like, he won 59 in 1884. Next year,
did he even lead the league in wins?
I would assume so. The next year, he went from 59 wins to 28 wins.
What a bum.
So yeah, he's probably looking at that saying, "What happened to me, man? I've lost my stuff." A 1.38 ERA that year, by the way. 1.38.
Probably throwing like 78 miles per hour.
Well, out of those 73 starts, 73 of them were complete games. Would old Hoss Radburn translate into the modern age of baseball? Probably not. Maybe he'd be a good fourth or fifth guy, but he's not going to be a Cy Young candidate. So
not winning 59 games.
Pitchers, not so much. Hitters, I mean, I don't know. Well, maybe Babe Ruth wouldn't have hit as many home runs. You'd like to think, well, the ball's going faster, so it's easier to hit it farther, but maybe it was a little harder to locate pitches and everything's coming right at you, so I don't know.
It's also weird talking about this, though, because like if you just pluck 28-year-old Babe Ruth out of 1920s and bring him now, then yeah, that's going to make it a pretty hard adjustment when he's seeing guys who are throwing 95 instead of high 80s or whatever. But you also got to think, if Babe Ruth is born in 1985, 1990, to where he's coming up now as a young player, and to where he got to experience the same technology, the same type of growth as other players, that he would be in just as good of a spot or better off than other players, to whereas it was him versus the talent that he had against him at the time that he excelled at, to where if he was born now and still got to experience the things, like, because he wasn't lifting weights back in the day. He was probably chugging down a beer and then heading to the baseball stadium. So you would like to think that with the advantages of today, that he would still be a really good baseball player if he grew up with the advantages today.
I think it's interesting if you look at the sport of golf, like Jack Nicklaus, clearly the greatest of all time because he's got those 18 majors, but I mean, the equipment disadvantage that the golfers were at in the 60s and 70s, it pales in comparison to the stuff that those guys are using today. And I don't think it would affect as much as people would think it would. I think from a distance standpoint, it obviously would. Like, guys today are hitting it further than they used to. Jack Nicklaus was the longest driver on the tour, and he was averaging 275 a drive.
Yeah.
Today, if you average 275 yards a drive, you'd be in the middle to the back of the pack. Like, guys are out there like Gary Woodland and Dustin Johnson who are routinely hitting 310-plus yard drives. So from a distance standpoint, he would suffer. But, I mean, I don't want to get too deep into inside golf talk, but, I mean, distance isn't necessarily what makes you a great golfer. It's the fact that you can hit it straight and you can place your ball where you need to on the green. You're hitting greens. You're sinking putts. Like, from that aspect, I don't think old golfers would suffer that much.
And it's a personal sport. It's not like Jerry West, where if he's dribbling like that, somebody's just going to nab it. You could have the worst player in the NBA. He's going to easily steal that thing. But in golf, you're not playing specifically against anyone. It's not like he has to go up specifically athletically with anyone, so it's not going to matter. And I don't think it would affect the major number, because if he has better equipment, so does everybody else, so the equipment just goes up, so the majors are the same. The only thing it would affect would be maybe he shoots another shot or two better here or there on a course. Maybe he has another course record here or there, but the major number would stay the same.
It's 412 on Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. ESPN released their World Fame 100, the 100 most famous athletes in the world. They do this every year.
How is this measured?
Fame. How do you measure fame? Quite subjective.
I thought it was a scale 1 to 10.
They devised a formula that combines endorsements with social media following and internet search popularity.
Okay.
So, three fundamental tenets of this formula: endorsements, social media following, internet search popularity.
They should add apparel or like jersey sales.
Yeah, but to buy somebody's jersey, you got to search for the name, right?
Call him on the phone.
All right, either way.
Go in the store.
Have you looked at this list?
No, I have not.
Do you have any idea who number one is?
No. Yeah, I'm assuming it's a soccer player. It's probably like Messi or Ronaldo because it's world famous.
Messi, Ronaldo, both in the top three. Ronaldo one, Messi three. LeBron James, obviously, is number two. Rounding out the top 10, you've got Roger Federer. How about this for number five? Phil Mickelson.
Really?
Phil Mickelson is the fifth most famous athlete in the world.
Hmm.
Neymar, soccer player at six. Usain Bolt at seven. Kevin Durant, eighth. Rafael Nadal at nine. And at number 10, one spot before Steph Curry, Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, y'all. At number 10.
Did this come out after?
This came out before, but
that would add to some of those Google searches.
He was at 72, and then they bumped him up to 10 after all the Google searches. No, he's at 10, but again, endorsement money has gone down a little bit, but people still searching his name. He's probably got a pretty big Twitter following. So Tom Brady's the first NFL player. Where do you think he comes in at?
Knowing that football is not a worldwide sport, let's go with somewhere between 15 and 25?
That'd be correct. He comes in at 21. So that means no NFL players in the top 20, which does hammer home the fact that this is our sport, man. No one else is really consuming it.
I also wonder how much he's helped by there by his wife, who obviously Victoria's Secret is more of a worldwide thing than the NFL.
That's right. You better believe it. Tom Brady at 21, which, like, it's just funny to me that with all of the expanding to Europe, making the NFL a worldwide brand, that you don't even have one of the top 20 athletes as far as fame's concerned. But again, it's subjective, and you could argue, well, I disagree, and you could make tons of really good arguments that Tom Brady's absolutely a top 10 most famous athlete in the world. He's more famous than Mahendra Singh Dhoni or Kai Nishikori.
What sport are these people?
I think these cricket? Are like cricket, rugby? Yeah. Ronda Rousey's at 16.
Really?
Yeah. Serena Williams at 19. Dwayne Wade, how about this? So, in NBA players, you got two in the top 10 with LeBron and Kevin Durant. Steph Curry's in at 11. Dwayne Wade is your fourth NBA player at 24th. 24th most famous athlete in the world. So, we can go on and on down this list. One thing that's not going to happen is you're not going to run into a baseball player. There are zero baseball players in the top 100 most famous athletes in the world. And it's an easy exercise to do if I asked you, who's the most famous baseball player? Not who's the best, who's the most famous? And a lot of times in a lot of sports, those two things coincide. But in baseball, it doesn't, because we know who the best baseball player is. It's the same guy who's been the best baseball player for the last 6 years, ever since he came into the league. It's Mike Trout. Like, consistently, he has been the best player of that sport over the past 5 or 6 years. But no one would argue that Mike Trout's the most famous baseball player. I always do the mom exercise. Ask your mom, how many football players can you name? How many basketball players can you name? And unfortunately, in my case, my mom, Nate, can name now more than she could 5 or 10 years ago because she watches all those Basketball Wives shows. So she just knows of these players because of their wives, which is unfortunate on several levels. But if I were to do that for baseball, like, she couldn't name me one player. Not one.
And I wonder who would be at the top of that list.
It's easy to say from our aspect, from our standpoint of people who know the sport, it's easy to say Bryce Harper, right? Because he's got the charisma, he has the hair, he's really good, he plays in a big market, but he's not Alex Rodriguez. Everyone knew who A-Rod was. Everyone knew who Derek Jeter was. There's no face of the sport. And it goes back to the conversation we were having in the last hour, which is that you don't have any personalities. Gary Sheffield did the Players Tribune piece today. He was talking about if he were commissioner for a day, all the things he'd change. But in reading that, you see that the last piece he did, which he posted last year, and he's talking about how baseball needs more personalities. This is a direct quote from Gary Sheffield. He says, "I've never gotten along with the media because I say what I believe. So while they may have pretended not to like me, the truth is they loved me. Because if I got upset, they'd get a juicy quote. Then I'd read that bleep, get angry, give them another quote. If more guys spoke their minds, baseball would probably be an even more high-profile sport. The game needs personalities. It would have been easier if I just always said the same canned BS, but that's not me. Every time I swung a bat, I did it with purpose. That's how I speak as well." And it is funny when he says, you know, I'd give them a juicy quote, then I'd read it, I'd get mad, and then I'd give them another quote. Like, and Gary Sheffield was at no point like a prominent figure in the grand scheme of sports. Like, he was a good baseball player, but he didn't like transcend sports to the point where, you know, a random person sees him walking down the street and you go, hey, that's Gary Sheffield. The way you would do that with Derek
Jeter. 500 home runs.
Sure, he did. But Jim Thome has over 600. How many people are recognizing Jim Thome if he walks down Mass Street tonight? Not very many. Like, Jim, I am convinced if Jim Thome came to Lawrence tonight, he could spend 3 hours on Mass Street. He would maybe get approached twice. Maybe. But I think there's a puncher's chance in hell that that dude is walking up and down Mass Street and no one's saying a word to him because he's a baseball player and he didn't do anything noteworthy other than hit home runs. And that's what the point is. The point isn't that Mike Trout's hit a lot of home runs. Mike Trout's hit for high average, as has Bryce Harper, but nobody around the world really knows who these guys are on a prominent level. The way that you should, you would think that they should be recognized as being the best player at their sport.
So therefore, steroids are good for baseball because we get more home runs, we get more players who are juiced up, who get angry at things and say things out of control.
Yeah, and again, the home runs aren't necessarily, that's a secondary part of this. Like, I'm not saying we need to see more guys put up more prodigious home run numbers. I'm saying we need more guys with personality. We need more guys who are willing to give those juicy quotes, who are willing to get at the media, who aren't just there to always say the right thing and be a good team guy and be a good clubhouse guy. We need more A-Rods. We need more guys who are going from locker room to locker room and screwing everything up. Guys who are ripping the clubhouse apart because they are polarizing figures. That is what we need. We need guys who are hated by their teammates, but they have to put up with it because they're so damn good.
Well, and we also need them to date more celebrities because that's part of the Derek Jeter and A-Rod allure as well. Derek Jeter has an incredible list with A-Rod. He has some as well, and obviously celebrities transcend overseas as well because there's a lot of Europeans who are watching some of those American movies as well. So if you're dating celebrities, that's an automatic bump up.
There are 11 golfers on this list. 11 of the top 100 most famous athletes in the world are golfers. Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, 4 in the top 20. Dustin Johnson, Sergio Garcia, Ricky Fowler, Justin Rose, Jason Day, Bubba Watson, Adam Scott. 11 of the top 100 are golfers. Yet there are 0 baseball players. Not 1. There's a badminton player, Lin Dan.
Comes that's in my boy.
88.
Yeah, he's good.
2 gymnasts, Simone Biles and Allie Raisman.
That makes more sense.
Okay.
It's a worldwide event. They're seen at the Olympics.
Okay. You want to talk table tennis?
Yes.
Ma Long, 71st. 2 swimmers, Ning Zetao and Ryan Lochte. Ryan Lochte is top 100. Michael Phelps isn't. Ryan Lochte
is retired. That's why,
okay.
Like Derek Jeter, Kobe Bryant aren't on there.
Okay, that makes sense. That is fascinating to me how you could have 11 golfers, 1 badminton player, and 1 table tennis player, and your top 100 famous athletes, no baseball players. And baseball is unlike the NFL, which is purely an American sport. Baseball's play is big in Japan. Now, it's not big across Europe. It's not big in Africa. It's almost non-existent. So, yeah, it's sort of a worldwide sport, but only in select areas. It's not like soccer, which is played in virtually every single country across the globe, which is why I'm sure you've got a lot of soccer players on here. Yeah, you've got... Oh, my goodness. Half this list is soccer players.
What'd you expect? It's the number one sport in the world. You're probably not going to be able to count all this. If there's 100 of them.
38 of the 100.
Oh, wow, that's good counting.
38 of the 100. And again, like it's just fascinating to me. Like baseball needs some personalities. And I doubt that all of these soccer players are like super personable and really... give juicy sound bites all the time, but they're playing a very popular sport. Baseball is not that. So if you want to grow the game, you could talk about all the different things that you could change to the game to make it shorter, to make it more entertaining. Get some personalities in there. Stop with this whole culture of, you know, we're just going to say the right thing, just let my game speak for itself, one game at a time. You can't win it all with one swing of the bat. We need more personality, man. We need more A-Rods. We need more Jeters. And we need less guys who are just giving the same canned BS answers day after day after day. 424 Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Kofeve, it's the news break next.